The letters WWJD became popular some years ago, and those letters still show up on bracelets and t-shirts and bumper stickers. For many, WWJD isn't just a fashion statement, but a motto to live by. Coming up next, we're going to learn more about WWJD and about three things that may be even more helpful. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our host is David Fettes, and the topic we'll be dealing with today is Three Golden Rules.
WWJD has showed up a lot in recent years. WWJD sounds like the call letters of a radio station, but people with WWJD on bracelets and t-shirts and bumper stickers aren't trying to promote a radio station. For many, it's a motto, a reminder to ask themselves in every situation, what would Jesus do? WWJD. That can be helpful. If it helps you not to forget the Lord and reminds you to be more Christ-like, WWJD is good for you. But WWJD has its limits. I don't want to discourage those who find it helpful to ask, what would Jesus do? But we should watch out for possible pitfalls also. One is that WWJD is a moneymaker. It's a golden rule in the sense that it's made gold for marketers, and it can lose its meaning. Originally, the question, what would Jesus do, was the theme of a best-selling book of an earlier era called In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. In this fictional story, the people of a town are transformed in wonderful ways when they decide to always ask themselves, what would Jesus do before they do anything? Now the whole book has been reduced to the slogan, what would Jesus do? The slogan has been reduced to four letters, WWJD, and the four letters have become a religious fashion item that generates cash. In some ways, this process typifies trends in Christian marketing. The desire for in-depth Bible study and careful reflection goes down, and the appetite for religious fiction increases. Then some folks don't even want to bother with the fiction. They'd rather not read at all. They prefer slogans and wall hangings. Then even these tidbits are cut down to fit an earring or a bracelet. In many Christian bookstores, more money is spent on fiction than on nonfiction, and more is spent on videos, t-shirts, jewelry, mugs, and other such items than on any books. Now, fiction isn't necessarily bad, and slogans and jewelry aren't necessarily bad either, but when such things replace thoughtful reading and careful study of God's truth in the Bible, when religious bookstores do more to peddle trinkets than to sell books and promote thinking, something is wrong. Something's wrong when people wear a cross as jewelry but don't want to study Bible truths such as atonement, substitution, or justification, which express the true meaning and importance of that cross that they're wearing. So, too, something is wrong when people wear WWJD and ask, what would Jesus do, but don't study what Jesus actually did and said in the Bible. In such cases, WWJD is junk and nothing more. Not everyone is so phony or shallow, of course. I know some wonderful Christians who eagerly study Scripture, who have deep knowledge of God, and who also find it helpful to have a brief motto or a special item to help them keep their focus. They may wear a cross, not as a replacement for prayerful study, but as a constant reminder of the Savior and of all that Jesus means to them. They may wear a WWJD item, not as a replacement for Bible knowledge, but as a constant reminder to put into practice what Jesus teaches in the Bible. For them, WWJD can be helpful. Still, even if you're not shallow or thoughtless, even if WWJD is more than just a marketing fad for you, there's another limit you should be aware of. In some situations, it may be helpful to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? But in other situations, it's not helpful at all. What would Jesus do at a funeral? He would walk up to the coffin and raise the dead person back to life. What would Jesus do about hungry crowds? He would borrow a little boy's lunch and feed 5,000 people with it. What would Jesus do about Satan? He would take Satan on directly after 40 days in a desert without any food, and he would conquer Satan's strongest temptations. You and I are not going to raise dead people, feed thousands from a lunch bucket, or defeat the prince of darkness by our own power and purity the way Jesus did. In many cases, we are utterly unable to do what Jesus would do, and we shouldn't try. In other cases, we must do things that Jesus would never need to do. What would Jesus do if he fell into sin? A bad question. Jesus never sinned. But you and I often sin. We disobey God and we wrong other people. We often need to repent and apologize and ask forgiveness. But Jesus never needed to say he was sorry because he never did anything wrong. So there are times when it's not helpful to ask, what would Jesus do? You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Jesus did things like raising the dead and walking on water that we can't do. And we must do things like repenting and apologizing that Jesus never needed to do. Still, there are times when it's helpful to ask, what would Jesus do? Especially when doing the right thing might be hard or costly or painful. The Bible says, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Despite huge differences between us and Jesus, there is a biblical basis for following Jesus' humble, holy example, seeking to do what's right rather than merely doing what's easy. So I encourage all WWJD folks to live up to your motto wherever it rightly applies. At the same time, I want to offer three other mottos that have even stronger grounding in the Bible, three golden rules that are even more valuable than WWJD. Before we get into those three golden rules, here's a song from the Moody Chorale, looking to Christ not only as an example, but as the one who surrounds and strengthens and lives within those who trust him.
Thank you.
David Fettes here again, and we're talking about three golden rules to guide us in the way of Christ. The first rule is this: do to others as you would have them do to you. This statement of Jesus in Luke 6, verse 35 is commonly called the golden rule, so it's fitting to make it the first of our three golden rules. Some people might aim to do what Jesus would do, but the golden rule which Jesus gives us doesn't sound quite so lofty or so spiritual. You don't have to put yourself in Jesus' shoes. Just put yourself in other people's shoes and do to others as you would have them do to you. If you're a husband sitting with your remote control in your hand and watching TV, while your wife toils away cleaning up dishes and getting the kids ready for bed, put yourself in your wife's shoes. What would you want if you were an overworked woman at the end of a long day? Wouldn't you want some help? Well, then click off the TV and help her. If you're trying to sell something to another person, put yourself in that person's shoes. Would you want to buy something without being told of a potential problem? Would you want to be pressured into buying something you don't really need, something you can't afford without going deeper into debt? No, you'd want to know the honest truth, and you wouldn't want to get yourself into a financial bind. If that's how you want to be treated, then treat your potential customers that way. Treat others the way you want to be treated. This golden rule is the underlying pattern of all God's commandments for dealing with other people. The commandments do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, says the Bible, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. God's commands aren't just orders to follow mechanically. They're ways to love others as much as you love yourself, ways to do to others as you would have them do to you. You wouldn't want to be killed, would you? Well, then don't murder. You wouldn't like to be ripped off and robbed, would you? Then don't steal. You wouldn't want your spouse to betray you and go to bed with someone else, would you? Then don't commit adultery. You don't like to be lied to or slandered, do you? Then don't bear false witness. You don't want people circling you like vultures, wanting what you have, do you? Well, then don't covet what others have. So in everything, says Jesus, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. An expert in religious law once came to Jesus. This man knew that the heart of God's law is to love God above all and your neighbor as yourself, but he questioned who ought to count as a neighbor. His very question indicated a lack of love. If you love others as much as you love yourself, you don't try to figure out whether they qualify as neighbor. Instead, you make yourself a good neighbor to them. You treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were in their shoes. Jesus made this point by telling the religious expert the story of a man who was robbed, beaten, and left for dead. First one religious leader, then another, saw the poor fellow lying there, but hurried past on the other side of the road. Then a half-breed Samaritan came along. He tended the man's wounds, took him to an inn, and paid his bill for as long as it took the man to recover. Now, isn't that how you would want to be treated if you were in bad shape and had lost all your money? Then let that be your policy for dealing with needy people that you meet. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The golden rule is simple. It doesn't take a scholar to understand it. The golden rule is also plainly right. You can't argue with it. Your conscience has to agree with it. You can't help admitting that this is how you ought to behave, that it's right to treat others the way you would want to be treated, and wrong not to do so. The golden rule is a marvelous guide for human conduct. If everyone in the world loved others as we love ourselves, if we put ourselves in their shoes and did as we would want them to do to us, there would be no bickering, no divorce, no cruelty, no crooked business deals, no war, just understanding and love. There's just one problem. No matter how simple, no matter how right the golden rule is, no matter how much we admire and praise it, we don't live up to it. We are self-centered. We wish people would understand us, but we don't try to understand them. We know how we want to be treated, but we don't treat others that way. If all we have is the golden rule, we will be frustrated and guilty and condemned. For although the Golden Rule shows us how we ought to feel and act toward others, it doesn't set us free from our selfishness, and it doesn't give us the power to love others and do to them as we would have them do to us. The Golden Rule shows the core meaning of God's law, but it doesn't enable us to live up to God's law. So, let's consider a second Golden Rule. Number two, do to others as Jesus has done for you. Before you can begin to escape selfishness and do to others as you would have them do to you, you must first know and delight in what Jesus has done. Before you can start to love others as yourself, you must first experience God's love for you and love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. After all, according to Jesus, the command to love others as yourself is the second greatest commandment. The greatest is to love God. And you can't love God until you savor God's goodness in Jesus and accept by faith all that Christ has done. You and I cannot create love in ourselves. We can only love as the result of the love of another. God is love. I'm not. Love springs up within God with nothing to prompt it except the fact that God is love. But I'm not God, and love doesn't eternally spring from the depth of my being without being prompted. Love can flow from me only as God's love first flows to me in Christ and then through me to others. As the Bible puts it, we love because He first loved us. And so our second golden rule, do to others as Jesus has done for you, does more than show the pattern of how to treat others. It also shows where the power comes from to do so. The power comes from God's own love in Christ, revealed in the gentle, tender, gracious conduct of Jesus during His time on earth, and shown supremely in Jesus' willingness to die so that sinful people might have new life. When the Holy Spirit convinces you of Christ's love and fills you with joy and gratitude to Him, the Spirit also moves you to love God and to love others as Christ has loved you. If you try to do what Jesus would do before accepting what Jesus has already done for you, if you take Jesus as your example before you trust Him as your Savior and Lord, then you will be crushed by the burden of trying to be like Jesus. But once you believe in Christ as the one who has already fulfilled God's law for you by His perfect obedience and sacrificial death, you can accept His love and eternal life as a free gift without feeling that you have to earn it, without being utterly defeated by your failure to measure up to the perfection of Christ. Then, as you're caught up in the awesome power of God's love in Jesus, that power becomes more and more dominant in your own conduct, and the pattern of Jesus' kindness to you shines all the more brightly and attractively as a marvelous pattern for your own behavior toward others. Do to others as Jesus has done for you. The Bible applies that principle in many ways. Here are a few examples. Love as Christ has loved you. This is love, says the Bible, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God calls us to Christ-like love in all our relationships, and especially in marriage. Scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. What a splendid rule for marriage. Do whatever it takes to cherish and encourage and help your wife, even if it means giving up some of your own desires. Love your wife as passionately and sacrificially as Christ has loved you. Another way of doing as Christ has done for you is to give as Christ has given for you. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." Since Jesus has given so generously to us, we should give generously of our wealth to people in need, even to the point of sacrifice. Scripture says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" Another application. Teach as Jesus has taught you. The Apostle Paul once wrote, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." In other words, Paul taught as Christ had taught him. If you've been taught God's truth in Scripture and the way of salvation through faith in Christ, don't let the truth be lost or watered down or twisted, and don't keep the truth to yourself. Christ taught this truth. Many have suffered and died to guard this truth and to give it to their children and neighbors and spread it to many nations. So when you receive and believe this truth from Christ, guard it, keep it pure, share it, teach as Christ has taught you. Here's one more vital way of doing to others as Jesus has done for you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's Colossians 3, verse 13. Do you count on Jesus to pardon you? Do you trust Jesus not to hold your sins against you? Then forgive those who have wronged you. Don't hold their sins against them. They may not deserve to be forgiven, but do you deserve to be forgiven? Jesus forgives even when we don't deserve it. Do as Jesus has done for you. Forgive even those people who don't deserve forgiveness. Do to others as Jesus has done for you. That's our second golden rule. Christ's goodness provides power for us to be good to others. What Jesus has done is the source and the motivation of all conduct that is truly Christian. And the motivation becomes even more powerful when we consider our third golden rule, do to others as you would do to Jesus. Show the same kindness toward everyone you meet that you would show to the Lord Jesus himself. Hebrews 13, verse 2 says that we should be kind and welcoming toward strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. If you mistreated a stranger, only to find out later that you had mistreated an angel, wouldn't you be horrified? And if you showed kindness to someone who turned out to be an angel, wouldn't you be thrilled? Now, if helping an angel sounds exciting, how about helping Jesus, the King of Angels? If we should be kind to strangers who might be angels, we should surely be kind if the Lord takes it as kindness to himself. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." When you feed the hungry, you feed Jesus. When you give a drink to the thirsty, you give a drink to Jesus. When you give clothes to the needy, you give clothes to Jesus. When you visit sick people in hospitals or persons in prison, you visit Jesus. The other side of the coin is that when you neglect such people, you neglect Jesus. Do to others as you would do to Jesus, because Jesus takes your treatment of others personally. There is no one so small or unimportant that they don't matter. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me." And Jesus says that whatever we do to the lowest and the last and the least, we do to him. Scripture says, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." In one sense, there's no way we can do anything for Jesus. How can we possibly do anything for the one who already has everything? In his divine nature, the Son of God has all the riches and enjoyment of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, so Jesus doesn't need anything from us. And in his human nature, Jesus has ascended to heaven, so we can't see him or do anything for him directly. He's not right in front of us. And yet, though we can't do anything for Jesus directly, we can do many things for him indirectly. How? By showing kindness to those who bear the image of the Creator Christ and share the same human nature as Jesus. Would you want to be rude to Jesus? If not, then don't be rude to people who were created in Jesus' image. Do you want to show love to Jesus in response to his great love for you? Then show love to those whom Jesus calls his brothers. You can't see God, and you can't see Jesus on his heavenly throne, but you can see other people, and you must treat them the way you would treat the Lord. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, says the Scripture, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's a marvel to know that God has become one of us in the person of Jesus. And it's a joy to know by faith that Jesus makes himself your brother and your friend. But keep in mind that Jesus also counts himself a brother and a friend to people you meet, and that Jesus takes your treatment of them personally. So don't fight or bicker with another person unless you like fighting and bickering with Jesus. Don't neglect or mistreat others unless you want to neglect and mistreat Jesus. If you know Jesus as your brother and friend, then show your love for him by loving the people he sends into your life. Do to others as you would do to Christ. Now that we've considered these three golden rules, I can picture a religious marketer saying, "Hey, I've got a great idea. I'll make a bunch of necklaces and chains with a golden three on them. That golden three will remind people of the three golden rules, and it might also make a lot of money." Well, I'm no marketing genius, and I won't try to sell you any golden threes. But even if you never have a golden three dangling from your neck or wrist, I hope you'll treasure these three golden rules in your heart, and by God's grace, put them into practice. Golden rule number one, do to others as you would have them do to you. Golden rule number two, do to others as Jesus has done for you. Golden rule number three, do to others as you would do to Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us the right way to live. Thank you for dying to provide forgiveness when we don't live that way. And thank you for the strength of your Holy Spirit to help us live by your three golden rules. In your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. If you have spiritual concerns or questions, please contact us. Also, if you'd like your own printed copy of today's message, you may have one free of charge. Just write us and ask for the message called Three Golden Rules. Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. The name of the message again is Three Golden Rules, and the address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. And when you write, please include the call letters of this station. Also, a cassette or CD of today's program is available for $5. Do you make time each day for some special moments with God? Personal and family devotions are vital to a close relationship with Jesus. Well, we'd like you to know about our daily devotional booklet called Today. It contains a Bible reading and a meditation for each day of the week. And we would be glad to send you a copy of Today free of charge if you write us at the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. For those connected to the Internet, our web address is backtogod.net. At our website, you can get our messages anytime at your convenience. A complete listing of stations and broadcast times for the Back to God Hour radio, Primary Focus Television, and Kids Corner Radio is also available. The web address again is backtogod.net. And if you'd like a copy of the program you've just heard, Three Golden Rules, or if you'd like a free copy of our Today devotional booklet, please get in touch with us. This is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655.